Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, Hour 2, originating from the bunker in gorgeous North Regina, Saskatchewan. Friday, June 28th, episode number 20 of the program. Darren DuPont not with us. Still in Kelowna doing investor relations. And he and that investor sending me photos last night from their hijinks. I'm like, what do you want? Why do you think I would want your photos of what you guys are doing out there in Kelowna?
Make you jealous.
But I wasn't. I was having far too much fun at the John Ryan Charity Golf Classic, which turned into more of a Ryan family reunion. And which is outstanding. Andrew Scheer was there. Didn't get a chance to talk to him. Potentially Canada's next prime minister. It was big fun. Tom Shepard was there, annoying everybody. Rob Vanstone, John Lynch in studio for hour two.
If annoying everybody is so wrong, how do you explain these two guests?
You too? I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. Resetting an hour two if you've just joined us. Nate Davis just was with us, Ryder Hall of Famer. Troy Westwood unable to join us. Something to do with Manitoba cell phone technology not working with Saskatchewan cell phone technology, which does not surprise me, but
very
it seems
Winnipeg-ish.
Like...
Very Winnipeg-ish.
Very Winnipeg. Very ugly and shouldn't be allowed, by the way. That's just manure.
Very Winnipeg-ish.
Yeah.
Go the, Jets,
the sports doctor, Dave Patrician, writing in on our Facebook feed saying, Lynch, again? I said, that's the same thing they said about you, Dave. Lynch has an open invite. Every Friday, I pick him up in Big Bird and drive him up here. But just not today because it was too wet and the Jeep doesn't have a top on that thing. Bombers winning last night, 28-21 over the Edmonton Eskimos. Lucky Whitehead is the next hero in Winnipeg. And so far, so good. Right, RV? 2 touchdowns. Lucky Whitehead is the hot story in the CFL.
We saw a sneak preview of those Winnipeg Jets that are possessed by Lucky Whitehead during the preseason. Wasn't that clever? When he got a step and was gone in that preseason game. And you saw the kind of mercurial presence he can provide for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And then last night, kaboom, 2 touchdowns. And, for a team that really isn't characterized as one that can, that has that quick strike capability, it's more of a move the ball incrementally type of offense under Paul Lapolis. But they showed an ability to light it up, at least during the first half last night. And then just kept holding the opposition to field goal after. I thought Dave Ridgway's record might be tied or broken as far as field goals in a game, but...
Were you surprised he went for the 7th one?
I thought, given where they were on the 26-yard line with a first down, I thought they might take a shot at the end zone or use at least one more play, maybe a couple of more plays to try and get the touchdown there, considering the field position. Even if you take a shot at the end zone, and then if you don't get that, 2nd and 10 isn't a tremendously high probability rate when it comes to conversion. Maybe try the field goal on 2nd and 10. I like the move as far as trying to conserve time. And if you look at it, the Edmonton Eskimos had ample opportunity after kicking that field goal, partially due to an Andrew Harris fumble, to score the tying touchdown. nobody could catch. That was the bigger problem ultimately than the call by Jason Moss. Even Greg Ellingson wasn't hanging on to the ball toward the end of the game. That was shocking when you look at three passes that should have been caught in the last few minutes.
And erstwhile Eskimo comeback was thwarted by Eskimo fumbles, right? And giveaways late in the game. I was mentioning how I was watching the game with one eye on it at the Wascana, Rob. And as much as Edmonton might have threatened late, Winnipeg was never out of control of that football game. That's the sense I got from just casually watching it. Would you agree? Like they exercised themselves as the dominant team in the CFL here through 3 weeks.
Despite doing a lot to try and give that game away, if you look at the Andrew Harris fumble, that game should have been all but locked down after that last stop or the second last stop by the Bombers. But they kept giving the Eskimos life. It was the classic Richie Hall bend but don't break defense, and it never broke.
Right. It works.
It worked. At times you wondered if it was going to work. There were times when it was second and 8, 9, 10, and they're running curl routes, and the Bombers are providing so much cushion that Edmonton seemed to be able to move the ball in those situations effortlessly. But it was almost like there was a wall erected at the 25, 30, 35-yard line, and in comes Sean White again.
Do you think Trevor Harris can replace Mike Rielly?
I do. I mean, I'm not sure that it's especially difficult to replace a quarterback in that situation where even with Mike Rielly, they finished last in the West. It's not like there's going to be an absolute dive bombing in terms of their standing in the division without Mike Rielly. If it was Calgary losing Bo Levi Mitchell, then you could say, okay, maybe Calgary is poised for a descent here. But the Eskimos were already occupying the cellar. Trevor Harris is showing, even in defeat last night, he's a tremendous quarterback. It wasn't his fault. Nobody could catch the ball for him.
Rob Vanstone, John Lynch with us in the bunker this morning, recapping Canada's game of the week. I should jump ahead to Monday, the Canada Day clash. So last night it was the two unbeaten teams, and Winnipeg came out on top. Monday it's two winless teams, the 0-2 Riders and the 0-1 Argos. Now, I don't know if you guys caught Milt Stegall's analysis on TSN SportsCenter last night. The Turtle Man, who earned the nickname because his abs look like a turtle shell. It's not because of his speed, that's for sure. He said he texted LaPolice before that game last night and said something along the lines of, what are you thinking? And LaPolice texted him back two words, lucky Whitehead. Which just tells me great players make great coaches. That's my segue into Monday's game, RV. Are the Riders, do they have enough great players to make their coaches great? Because Craig Dickinson and Jason Shivers and Stephen McAdoo can draw plays all day long. But if they're not executed, not going to matter in three phases. So what is your take overall on that game on Monday?
Well, not often you see an 0-2 team favored by a double-digit point disparity, which speaks to the fact that the Argos lost 64-14 in week one. The Riders should win this game. They're at home. They're the better team. And oddly enough, who would have thought that after week two, the offense would be the least of the concerns as far as the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? The defense played pretty well in the opener against Hamilton, terribly against Ottawa. The special teams have been horrible in both games. In the opener, the Riders, the offense wasn't particularly potent, but they had the ball for 36 minutes, 5 seconds. And then people saw what Cody Fajardo did last week. So I think if you look at that Rider offense against the Toronto defense that appears to be vulnerable, there's no reason to think the Riders won't win this game, and perhaps handily. That's a dangerous trap to fall into when you're talking about an 0-2 team and almost presuming a victory, especially when you look at the Rough Riders and their hit. This is a team that lost to Montreal at home last year. But they should win this game, and it probably shouldn't really be that close.
Well, I'm sure. Can we bring in Jim Popp now? I don't want to keep him waiting. Is he ready to go? All right, we're going to go, I believe, to Toronto now. I certainly don't think they're in Regina yet. The general manager of the Argos, Jim Popp. Probably very interested, Jimbo, in those comments from Rob Vanstone on Monday's
Sorry,
game.
Well, Rod, that's what I would expect, when you're a local and you're in Regina, that's what you should be thinking and everybody wanting to have. Yep.
You know, Jim, before we get in, Lynch, pull your headphones on there, right on your arm of your thing there. You can hear Jim. I want to just say, last night I was at the John Ryan Charity Golf Classic sitting with Alan Ford, And I know that's a guy that means so much to you. Can you tell our viewers this morning why he means so much to you?
Absolutely. I mean, if most people don't realize, is I got my start in Regina. My first 2 years in the CFL were, 92 and 93. And Al Ford was in charge. And he was responsible for hiring me, him and Don Matthews. And I got my career started there and had two fantastic years before I went on to Baltimore to be the general manager. And Al and I and his family have stayed close ever since. You know, from the time Al wasn't working for the Rough Riders anymore, I can tell you he's a diehard number one Rough Rider at all times. But he also worked for us in Montreal, and he wasn't allowed to wear his Grey Cup rings in Regina. And he was allowed to pull for Saskatchewan every time we played him. But outside of that, he's, you know, I offered work back to him as he gave me a chance. So he, as a young man coming into the CFL, I had the two greatest teachers. I say this all the time. Al Ford was brilliant and helped me in the front office part. Don Matthews taught me the game, and I was smart enough to listen to both men, and that's helped me in my career.
I laugh because around Regina, Al was scouting for the Alouettes, but still wearing Ryder golf shirts. I'm like, what? I know you're working for that wouldn't surprise you. But Jim, your dad was football man too, was he not?
Yes, my father coached at every level. He started as a right out of college as a, he was a tremendous athlete. You know, he was an all-state three-sport athlete in high school out of the state of Pennsylvania in Western PA. Went down to North Carolina for his college and played two sports in college. And then he went right into coaching right out of college as a high school coach. Great success, went to the NCAA, great success, went to the NFL and other pro leagues in between. So he retired with the Cleveland Browns in 91. And then, you know, he's passed away now. But I was fortunate to have that in my background and upbringing between him and my mother, who was a tremendous businesswoman in my family. That I always talk about my family is helping me in what I do, because my brother is television, news, media, and my sister is a international lawyer. So I take all aspects of the four of them, and it helps me in being a general manager.
Well, I know that it's that your family is something special for sure, and it's what I love about the show is being able to ask questions like I just did, and have, you know, you don't get asked questions like that very often, I don't think.
No, not often. No.
Yeah, on a day-to-day basis. But now to the football. Just what is the Argos organizational opinion going from week two to week three? We all saw what happened on Saturday, and frankly, because I love Chame, it's feeling tough for you guys. How do you rebound?
Oh, you have to throw that game away. You learn a lot from the film. I mean, obviously, we came out of preseason feeling very good. We had two great preseason games. We had a great training camp.
You know what?
We had a bye week with coming out of training camp because of some injuries. We really didn't get injured guys back for the first game, but. You know, we seem to be very sluggish the week leading into our first game of practice, and then it seemed to carry over into the game. I give Hamilton a lot of credit. They played, I thought, an excellent game, and I don't think we played very well. And when you couple that together, especially in the second half, you know, about anything and everything went wrong. We had 12 injuries during the game. I had four concussions. We were playing with two linebackers playing in the secondary as the game went. And there's just a lot of things that added up to get 64 points on the board. But probably the most noticeable thing watching was we were just atrocious tackling on defense. And offensively, we didn't do that bad. We just did. We shot ourselves in the foot a few times, whether it was a throw interception or our miscommunication with the receiver and quarterback. But overall, obviously a poor game, a poor home opener, and we expect much better results than us coming out on the to play this week.
Well, you know how, Jim, football's so much mental and intimidation, but it's also one play at a time, at the most one game at a time. So is there carryover, anger, chip on the shoulder for you guys? Or I guess you kind of said it, you want to forget it, right? That's not going to be on your minds Monday in Regina, I wouldn't think.
Well, I think you've got to learn from it. I mean, that anytime throughout a course of a year. I mean, every week's a learning lesson, and especially early in a season. I think when you look at the Toronto Argonauts and you look at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, they both had head coaching changes. As soon as you make a head coaching change, there's a different demeanor. You know, there's player changes, staff changes. We didn't have the benefit of having mini camp this year at all with vets. So, you know, is it a surprise to everybody that maybe someone starts different? We weren't favored last week, but we surely weren't 50-point underdogs either. So we expected much better. We expected to win. We expect to win this coming week, just like I know Sask expects to win. So at some point, we got to get on board. You know, the funny thing going into this week for all teams, even though we've only played one game, you know, there's four teams undefeated heading into this weekend, and there's five teams that haven't won a game yet. So two of us are still in the playoff hunt just based off 2 weeks of the CFL and still right there. So we got a lot to learn from it, and we expect to be a lot better. And it's not always how you start. It's how you finish.
Jim, John Lynch here. What's your situation now at quarterback? Has Franklin been given the starting job?
Well, he hasn't been given it. He's earned it. So, you know, he came into camp. You know, we feel we have a better situation than some teams in the CFL. I mean, obviously, if you've got a marquee player or guys that have just developed into a marquee player in a system, then someone would say they have a better quarterback situation. But between James Franklin and McLeod Bethel Thompson and Dakota Prukop, they've all, you know, got, I mean, several years of experience in the CFL now. I mean, this is one reason Cody's not here right now. And Cody, as you saw last week, is a good quarterback. So you go through these situations. But James, you know, James came in here a year ago, and as the record shows, there were certain things that went on. There wasn't a great chemistry between James and the head coach or the system. It takes both parties to tangle, so we needed to get that cleaned up. And but between James Franklin and McLeod right now, and even Dakota, they're all capable of winning football games for you. We just need to function our system and do it the best we can. And we didn't have tremendous success last week on offense in regards to getting the ball in the end zone, but we threw for more than 300 yards, and we just didn't get the points on the board. But it takes three phases, as you men were talking about, and we got beaten all three phases.
Jim, you referenced Cody, obviously, that tremendous game against Ottawa last week. You know him very well. How do you assess what he was able to do for the Rough Riders last week, and what does he give them going forward?
Well, it should give him a boost of confidence, and Cody confidence. I mean, he got a chance to play, and he put up some numbers and threw the ball well. You know, when he's able to use his legs and his athletic ability like he is, I mean, we all know that he has that ability and capability. So, you know, what happens, which I've seen a lot of times in the CFL through my years, a lot of quarterbacks who end up spending 4 or 5 years backing up finally get their chance between 28 and 30 years old. The game slows down for them. They might get in a system that fits them better. And then all of a sudden, or a coordinator that gets the most out of them. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just a matter of confidence and stop making mistakes, and then it takes off for him. So we'll see if that happens consistently for Cody and or for James Franklin or McLeod Bethel Thompson or even Dakota Prukop. But it's, you know, all of them are, to be honest with you, are all capable quarterbacks that have had success in the CFL.
Jim, I know how busy you guys are. We'll let you go, but I just want to tell you, I appreciate you. Looking forward to seeing you on Monday, and good luck Monday and with the season.
Yeah, thank you, and good luck to everybody. Stay healthy, and let's have a great season for both cities.
You bet. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for having me.
Jim Popp, the general manager of the Toronto Argonauts, and you're seeing our VY. People would, well, CFL fans in general would love this program to have. Like, I'm a huge Jim Popp fan, so maybe not everybody's as excited as I am to watch him, but it's pretty cool to have these guys on.
Real neat, really neat. And he handled it very well, eh? Because he's under a lot of pressure there, and that was embarrassing. That was really embarrassing, especially when you're honoring an all-time great Ricky Ray and biggest crowd they've had a long time there, 16-7. And they lay an egg. And I don't know how that egg got laid, but it was terrible in that second.
Well, for sure. But the general manager, Rob, has nothing to do with that. I wouldn't think. He can't affect the game once they get out there.
No, the work is largely done by that point. What can you do except sit there and and stress over it. But if you look at the Argos, there should be more, at least offensively, that team can offer and can put forward. If you look at James Wilder, Armani Edwards, S.J. Green, Darrell Walker, if they can get even average quarterbacking, they've got a lot of weapons there. You'd expect that. I think James Wilder had 6 carries last week. Now, part of that was dictated by the score, but the Argos were still in the game for the first half. I would think if the Argos can stay close and they can mix James Wilder in with some of those receivers, that's their chance to make matters interesting. It's a little, as I mentioned earlier, it's a little scary when you start presuming a victory, considering the unpredictable history of the Rough Riders and the nature of the CFL. You should never really regard anything as a given. 1989 West Final, but it seems to add up that the Rough Riders should win handily, but there's always that little birdie in the back of your head saying, okay, hold on, you're talking about the CFL, you're talking about the Rough Riders, nothing is a given. Yep. And there's some things that the Argos can do to make that game interesting. Will they be able to do it? That's another question.
Joe, we got a break. It was one game for Toronto with an entirely new coaching staff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was one game. I'm sure that's what they would like to say. It was one game. And they would love if the Riders and their fans are taking them lightly coming in here for Canada Day. But we'll talk about that and more. By the way, I've always said the two coolest guys in the CFL are Jim Popp and Corey Chamberlain. And now they're together in Toronto. Cool, I know, doesn't get you wins, but I think they got something special going on in Toronto, and it would be silly to write anybody off after one game. By the way, our poll question today is Lucky Whitehead going to take the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to the 2019 Grey Cup? I got to go check. Last I looked, 79% saying no, Lucky Whitehead is not taking the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to the Grey Cup. 77% say no. So you Bomber fans, maybe you don't even believe that he will, but pretty good start with 2 touchdowns last night. The Rod Peterson Show continues after this break. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Friday morning sports update. Week 3 in the CFL season continues tonight in Hamilton. The Tiger Cats home to the Montreal Alouettes in an East Division matchup. Hamilton 2-0 under new coach Orlando Steinauer. Montreal 0-1. The Owls start Vernon Adams Jr. at quarterback. VA. Previous starter Antonio Pipkin is hurt. 5:30 Sask time on TSN. That's Mountain. The Toronto Blue Jays start a 10-game homestand tonight. Toronto home to the Kansas City Royals, opening a 4-game series. Both teams are among the worst in the American League. Sean Reed Foley expected to start for the Blue Jays tonight. He spent most of his season with AAA Buffalo. Lefty Danny Duffy starts for the Royals. Royals-Jays, two of the worst teams in the AL. How long ago was it, RV, there in the ALCS? 3 years? 2016? Didn't seem like that long ago.
No, but it's going to be a lot longer before they return.
What a free fall. The Greek Freak, not George Yanitsos. Giannis Antetokounmpo says he will play for Greece at this year's Basketball World Cup in China. The Milwaukee Bucks star says he can play any position. The Greek Freak was named NBA MVP this season. He's in Athens this week promoting his new shoes. Nate Davis was on here last hour not even wearing shoes. Just one day away from Canada's biggest annual horse race, Queen's Plate Weekend is underway at Woodbine Racetrack in Toronto. The first jewel of the Canadian Triple Crown runs tomorrow. Avi's Flatter is the early favorite. The horse is trained by Josie Carroll. So there's your Friday morning sports update. Producer Clark telling me to tell you that until the end of the show, another 30 minutes, it's going to be listener participation and viewer participation. You got questions that you want Rob Vanstone, John Lynch, and I to talk about, topics, fire them at us, and we'll do our best. See, Lynch, you keep hitting that mic stand. I said, please stop. And Rob Vanstone, is this your third appearance in here?
Third, yes.
Things have changed. Like, you're seeing sponsors are rolling through. They're sitting on the sponsor couch. DuPont's out in Kelowna smoking cigars, drinking brandy, golfing, carousing on a investor relations trip. Like, things are starting to shake here.
He may never return.
Never thought about that.
This is a real good junket for Darren DuPont. So yeah, I think John Lynch might be the co-host very shortly because Darren DuPont, I think, will soon slide into the realm of parts unknown.
And be happy.
Wrestling parlance.
And be happy about it. But things are starting to shake. And as you pointed out, when does TSN3, when does Sportsnet West pick up this program? That's got to be next.
There's a great void that you've identified and seized here. We were talking during the break. How many times what replay is SportsCenter on now in terms of that morning loop? Is it 9, 10, 11?
Right now, probably the 11th.
Yeah. So this is, and there's so much CFL content on here. They're CFL's primary sole rights holder. I think there's a void here that should be noticed at higher levels, and I realize the national networks are enduring some difficulties. We've seen what happened earlier this week with Sportsnet and some cutbacks. But if you're looking at programming that's unique and that has a real, I think, a real attachment to a lot of what's being done nationally, not just locally, I don't know how it's not being red flagged. Maybe it is, and I'm not aware.
Cheap programming.
Of it.
Yes.
Well, we just had James.
Cheap guests.
Jim
anyway.
Pop on. Just had Jim Pop.
Jim
on.
Pop. All the guests, and that's Clark.
Yeah.
This is the nice thing about this show. I do what I do. You're looking at it.
Yeah.
DuPont does what he does. He's out in Kelowna in investor relations, smoking cigars, drinking brandy, golfing, carousing. He's doing what he does. We got our manager of partnerships sitting on the couch over there, Cliffy. Just announced today as the business operations executive director of the PA Raiders. So he is leaving us, but he's going to overlap for a while. He's wearing that Raider hat. Way to go, Cliffy. We're going to get him on the show here a little later on. Paul, watching from Edmonton this morning, he does what he does. Everybody has to know your role, as The Rock says. Rochelle writing in from the Regina Riot. Thank you, Rochelle. I have this written down to talk about. The Regina Riot in the WWCFL, Western Women's Canadian Football League Championship game, Saturday, Mosaic Stadium, 4 o'clock. They're playing the Saskatoon Valkyries. Am I saying that right?
Valkyries, I think.
Valkyries. Everybody knows their name. It is a rematch of last year's championship. Darren Stinks from Saskatoon sent me a preview of the game. Thank you, Stinks. I read it all. Last year, the Riot beat Saskatoon 14-10. They're doing it all over again for this year's championship, 4 p.m. Saturday, Mosaic Stadium. Thank you, Rochelle, for the reminder.
Rochelle's great, by the way.
She is an outstanding at everything she does. Rochelle Montgomery is the name. Football's the game. So to the questions from the Facebook feed. from Dave. My question is, do the Riders make the playoffs this year? It's a hot question. It's a hot topic. And we kind of covered this earlier. This is Jeremy O'Day's team, but it's not Jeremy O'Day's team. He's inherited a team. Signing Cody Fajardo, an outstanding acquisition, Rob, in free agency. Jim Popp doesn't seem very surprised that Cody Fajardo lit it up in his first ever start. The most yards ever by a Rider debut a quarterback in 110 years of team history. But do they make the playoffs? If you're asking me today, I got to say no because of the division that they're in. How about you?
Still, there's the crossover and there's the likely haplessness of a anticipated haplessness of a couple of teams in the East Division. I think that crossover at the very least is going to be part of the equation well into the season. The Riders, though, have to get mileage out of these home games, this concentration of home games in the first 8, 9, 10 weeks of the season. If they can't do something with this front-loaded home schedule, or is it schedule?
Schedule.
Schedule.
I learned that in school.
Shouldn't it be shul? So,
right.
But if they can't do something with this chunk of home games, we could be doing postmortems in September about this football team. But the opportunity is there for them to make some inroads early and then hope to just hold on and grab something at the end.
Yeah, but July, you know, you look at here, July 1st to August 1st, 5 games, 4 at home. They've got to win, I think, 3 of those to be in the fight.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the year, 3 of our last 4 games are on the road. Consecutive weekends on the road. I've never seen that before, Rob, have you?
I don't recall a schedule like this ever. It's almost like two different seasons.
Yeah, it is.
When you break it down. And you're going to get the occasional stretch where there's 3 road games or 3 home games in a row, but it doesn't happen very often. This weekend's game, you think they've... Toronto's here. It's a team they should beat. But then, on a short week, they've got the Calgary Stampeders. And yes, it's a home game, but good luck with that. And that'll be a real... This is a team that under Chris Jones actually played pretty well against Calgary. But can they do that under this administration with this quarterbacking, with this structure? That'll be the first real acid test of this for this football team.
If they lose both these games against the Argos, and some way lose to the Argos, and Calgary next Saturday, 0-4, that's gloom time.
Right, but let's just look to this Monday, and that's all the team's doing. That's all that they can do,
yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Great questions. I said that we would answer the listeners' and viewers' questions from Facebook. So Glenn Erickson writes in, okay, Vanstone.
Okay, Glenn.
When you got started in the business a few years ago, what year did you start?
My first day at the Leader Post with a summer job was May 12th, 1986.
Okay. Did you ever envision the need to become so versatile? Television, radio, social media. Over to you.
Never. And I'm not sure that I am. My first week at journalism school at the University of Regina in September 1985, there was a broadcasting class. And the prof took one look at my face, heard my voice, and you're unfortunately dealing with both of those elements right now, and said, oh, you'll be going into print. I was typecast within the first week of journalism school, and I was delighted with that, and I'm still delighted with that. But the imperatives of the business have changed, and suddenly there's things such as a series of historical videos that we've now got on the Leader Post website. Rob's Green Time Machine, we call it, and it's me talking into a camera for endless periods, and that's the last thing I ever expected.
You've become very comfortable with it. Kudos to you.
And it's still something that really doesn't come that naturally, as you can probably see. But there's that. There's doing podcasts. There's Twitter. Who would have imagined social media when I was starting in journalism school? We were using rotary phones and cassette tapes and reel-to-reel
tapes. Many people are saying, what?
And
that are watching this.
Manual typewriters. When I was in journalism school and started in 85, there was a daily noon hour radio show on CKUR, the University of Regina station, and the journalism school would produce a newscast for the university station, and the scripts were written on manual typewriters. And this might just seem like a dialect that nobody can even comprehend if they're...
It doesn't seem like that long ago.
It doesn't seem that like that long
but
ago.
But then
I look at my then and now pictures, and it's like an eternity.
A few things have changed. Sports doctor,
John's still here.
The sports doctor from Winnipeg's writing in this morning because we are very big in Winnipeg. Question for Rod and Rob. He doesn't like you, Lynch, because you run down Winnipeg all the time.
Just so Jets. I'm the Jets booster here.
Did the early start to the CFL schedule contribute to the decline in attendance? Also, Saskatchewan didn't have a home game, so that probably lowered the average number. So the attendance was down 6.9% through the opening 2 weeks of the season. I will not say it's because of moving the season up. A proponent of it, I'd like to see them move training camps up to start May 1st. And Rob, it's a great question for the sports doctor. And I was starting to believe that the early start of the season, just a couple weeks, has led to the decline. And then I see the highlights from BMO Field and the Toronto FC game. I'll probably write this in my 10 things column tomorrow. BMO's filled. Raucous atmosphere. Montreal Impact. They had Portland in there same night. Great crowd. So it's not about summer. I think it's a marketing issue.
It's about buzz.
Yeah, same thing.
I was at Mosaic Stadium the night the Raptors won the NBA championship. And I was fully expecting that they showed the Riders-Hamilton game before switching to the Raptors on the large screen. And I was fully expecting a massive crowd, not just for the Raptors, but for the CFL game. And the Riders on the big screen in their own stadium for most of the time that game was being shown were playing before a paltry crowd. And then the Raptors people started showing up, and I thought, what on earth is going on with the Rough Riders here? That shouldn't that be the crowd that the event that's really got people wound up? It's their season opener, and it was like an afterthought, but then people started showing up in Raptors garb. And that to me was signified the sounding of some alarm bells. Like right out of the gate, it's like, where's the buzz about the Rough Riders? They start off 0-2. That doesn't help. They start off with their quarterback being hurt three plays into the season. That doesn't help when your, for better or worse, marquee player gets injured. And it's sort of an unnatural time of year for really people to really be jazzed about football. I remember the regular season starting at the end of July. And going, people say sometimes the CFL season doesn't start until after Labor Day, but by then, how much of the regular season schedule has already been devoured?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the football mindset really starts to kick in. But by that point, what could be left of this team is struggling. Look at Corey Chamberlain and Brendan Tamman. People say that the regular season doesn't necessarily start until Labor Day. Well, Brendan Tamman and Corey Chamberlain were fired by then in 2015.
Missed a lot if you just tuned in at Labor Day.
There's so much of that schedule before Labor Day now. And I'm just not sure that really resonates with people when the weather's nice, I want to go to the beach, I want to go play golf, blah, blah, blah.
And yet they're going to the MLS games in Canada. That's my argument there. So I just think it's a mindset they need to shift with people, that's all. And you said it yourself. It's a younger demographic going in to watch the Raptors on TV. My God, in the 90s, there were 14,000 people going to watch the Riders play at Taylor Field. Remember? Now there's 14,000 going to just watch the Raptors play on TV. Which, by the way, where would you buy Raptors gear in this town if you went to Jersey City and it was sold out? Where?
That's where I bought my Denver Nuggets hat. That's the
NBA. Where else would you go?
Right here.
Right. No, where would you buy Raptors stuff? Raptors stuff.
I don't know.
Exactly. Up until 2 months ago, nobody cared.
Yep.
Here, it wasn't a problem. But, Rochelle, do you think declining numbers in attendance is due to one-year player contracts? Hard for fans to be as engaged? Barely get to know the players? I'm willing to throw any suggestions out on the table. And again, it's not my job to market the CFL nor the Rough Riders. I'm glad it's not because there is a problem.
But look at last year now. You and I talked about this going into August last year. But August the 7th, we played Calgary here. And I said, oh, my God, it's going to be a slow crowd, maybe 2022. The place was sold out.
You never know what they're going to grab onto.
Labor Day was sold out. The first week after Labor Day was sold out. They got four sellouts last year after August 7th. So I don't know what turned them on. I guess the fans or the team. It was in the race.
They were starting to win.
They were contenders for first place.
I don't think the one-year contracts benefit the product. It makes a lot of sense for the players. Even when the minimum contract was one and an option, they were operating on a year-to-year basis anyways with a lack of guaranteed contracts. So it makes a lot of sense for the players. But as far as building the brand, as far as building allegiances, I was fortunate to grow up in an era when Ronnie and George were there every year. And a lot of the football cards that I had from 1970 were still applicable, or a lot of the players who were on the football cards that I collected starting in 1970 on the playground at Massey School, a lot of those guys were still playing 3 or 4 years later. You could build that allegiance, and you knew that Ronnie was going to be there. You knew that George was going to be there. Suppose you're a Ryder fan, you have a number 7 jersey, and you once had Dressler on the back, and then you replace that with Jefferson. And now you got to think, do I have to rip the lettering off again and put Fajardo on there?
But Velcro nameplates on the jerseys would be a start.
You know, it's really hard to latch on.
But it's not impossible. That's the thing. Trent Fraser, if he's watching this morning, was the Riders marketing director early 2000s, as you both know. Yep. And the team was bad. The stadium was empty. And I remember sitting in those meetings talking about marketing. You know what they started to market? The experience. That's where the Melonhead thing came from. That's where the Canada's team came from. It's better in the stands. All that. You don't have to necessarily market the players. You just need to put your thinking hat on a little harder to think about how you're going to market this. That's how that came about, is all I'm saying. So to say the players are only here for 1 year and we can't market the thing, then market something else. You can stop throwing your hands up in the air. I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying what's it going to take to fill these places. And I was stunned when I saw the attendance figure from Winnipeg last night, 25,000 and change. It looked like way more. But maybe that's the stadium design.
That surprised me too.
25,000 in Edmonton looks terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, people are paying attention in America to the CFL, which doesn't mean anything for the CFL other than attracting Americans to the league so they know what it is. But they've been promoting, because I watch ESPN all the time. I got it pumped into my house. ESPN2's got at least one game of the week in the CFL, sometimes two. So they're all talking about it. And all day on American Sports Center and all their shows, it says, tonight, ESPN2, Edmonton at Winnipeg. They did it yesterday, and the game was good. And there was talent. And you know there's people in Virginia where Lucky Whitehead's from, or Texas, going, that's where Lucky is now. We lost him. Do you know what I mean? So my point is, I'm not sure what the point is, but last night was a very good commercial for the CFL across this country and actually beyond the border, because it just looked good on television and it was a good game. And the fact of the matter is about the CFL, when we sit here and talk about attendance issues, the product is still very good. And in the opening week of this show, we were talking about it way back then, I said, the CFL forever has been a great product, RV. So if you've got a great product and people aren't necessarily buying it, why? And that would be marketing.
I think you've got to market it more aggressively than ever. And I think sometimes the league and certain teams fall into the trap of, we've always been here, people know we're out there, people know who we are. And that's not enough. There's a reason why Coke still advertises.
Right.
There's a reason why Nike still advertises. McDonald's. People know they're out there, but they're still constantly pushing that. They don't ever want to lose any of the inroads that they've made. And I think with the increasing competition, even nationally, and it's cool to be a Raptors fan now, I think you've got to work harder than ever to even maintain where you are, let alone enhance the profile of your brand.
How much do you think the changing in the organization here, Jones going and O'Day taking over, affected the attendance? And the thinking of fans, enthusiasm-wise.
If I may, attendance should have gone up because everybody hated Chris Jones.
I mean, of all the people who said over the past few years, I'm not coming back till Chris Jones is gone. If they show up on Monday, they're going to get, Riders will get a great crowd, but I don't anticipate that will happen. Ultimately, I think that the nature of the product will determine the success or lack thereof at the gate. I think there's people have really yet to, they have yet to buy into this regime, because there's really, what has there been to buy into?
Last week's game. Now, because of that game,
true,
Ottawa. In Ottawa, I think the fans should be happy with it. It was a very good performance by the Rough Riders. He lost by 4 points, but still, it was a pretty good effort. We saw an offense we haven't seen for a couple of years. Really, that was a very exciting game, and I think it showed the Riders can be very competitive.
But I still don't know what this team is. And granted, it's a very early juncture of the season, but is it an offensive team? There's been one game where they've been tremendous, another game where they had the ball for 36 minutes but still didn't put up enough points to win the game. The defense, we've seen both sides of that defense. It's a team where you would think special teams would be one of the linchpins. That's just for you, John.
Pardon the pun.
The special teams has probably been the weakest facet of the game, despite the fact that their head coach is a special teams coordinator. I'm not sure what this team is yet, what its niche is, what type of football team it is. Maybe we'll get some answers on Monday, but if they're, I still think the Calgary game will be a more of a barometer than Monday's game will be.
One last point before we go to overtime and bring Cliffy on. Harry writes in and says, what's your opinion on a crossover? Should it be East versus West, or should a crossover exist? It absolutely should exist. And I guess when they asked if the Riders will make the playoffs, I was thinking top three in the West. The top four will likely get in. So, yeah, there is a shot of the Riders making the playoffs. Earlier, I said no, just as the way I see it trending. But the East Division is 3-1 versus the West this year. So you talked, how many times have you said it's early? Is this a trend you see continuing, RV? Eastern dominance over the West for the first time since Jean Chrétien was prime minister?
I don't think so. If you look at it, Hamilton should be a good team. Ottawa's been a surprisingly good team, but there's still Montreal and there's still the Toronto Argonauts, teams that could very well be weaker teams. And you only need for the crossover to take effect, you need two weak teams in the East Division, and that scenario could very well play out.
Lynch, the last word.
Well, I think it's going to be a very interesting game on Monday night, because what do you say about the Argonauts? They're hard to figure out. The Rough Riders have to be prepared for them. They've got to win that game, and we want to see that front four, the Riders, with Mika Johnson and Charleston Hughes performing well at the ends positions, and the two tackles, I guess, and Reynolds, the guy from last year. J.C. Leonard playing the left defensive end, and Zach Evans in the middle there. I think the defensive line of the Rough Riders should be one of the best in the league. I think it is the best in the league because of the All-Stars and Mika Johnson and Charleston Hughes. We should dominate. We didn't do that in the first two games, so I'm looking forward to seeing that offense, or that defense, turning it on, really turning it up, playing at their best, and the offense playing the way they did in Ottawa, and I think we could have a big victory, but I'm wondering if that'll happen. I just thought it was such an odd situation, what happened to Toronto last weekend. I don't know what to expect.
Lynch predicts Rider domination. In other news, the sky is blue. Oh, and Blake writes in on Facebook. He says, will Cameron Judge get a start if Solomon Elamimian, or will they shuffle the D around? The report I got from Ryder practice yesterday, because I was here on the air and then in the John Ryan Golf Classic, is that they had Moncrief, Elamimian, and Judge all working together. So Judge can stay on the field, and Elamimian, I guess that would mean Daishon Davis would be out as of yesterday's practice. And the other report I got was that Braden Linus Dickey looks like a mini Rob Gronkowski, which Braden's big. But Gronk's huge. And hey, that'll be his home debut on Monday. That's pretty exciting. RV, we'll see you Monday.
Look forward to it, Rod.
And Frenzy, I'll see you in the car.
That's right.
Overtime is next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome to Overtime, everybody. And we begin with a Friday morning sports update. Baseball's Players Association says the Tampa Bay Rays would need permission from the union to play games in Montreal. Commissioner Rob Manfred said last week the low-drawing Rays may explore a split season in Montreal, but union head Tony Clark said requiring a player to maintain two homes during the season would be a significant burden. The Blue Jays and Kansas City Royals kick off a four-game series tonight at Rogers Center. The Jays are looking to rebound after dropping three straight to the Yankees earlier this week. Just down the road, the Hamilton Tiger Cats are home to Montreal as week three of the CFL season continues. The Ticats are flying high after a 64-14 rout of the Argos last week in Toronto. Argos GM Jim Popp is with us earlier. Just to go back on your screen with that white ball to catch Jim Popp. He was in hour two. Host France takes on the powerhouse U.S. in a highly anticipated quarterfinal today at the Women's World Cup. The Americans are gunning for their second straight World Cup title and fourth overall. The winner of today's match takes on England in the semifinals. And that can only mean, Cliff Mapes, is Norway out?
Hello, Norway.
Good morning. Good evening, Norway.
Good evening, Norway.
How was the lutefisk and crumb cake? Norway must have lost out in the Women's World Cup, or I would be reading it otherwise. Cliff Mapes is here, our manager of sponsorships and partnerships. Is that what it is? VP?
You know what? It's just a partnership with Paul and Darren, and it's been unbelievable.
It's been great, huh?
It's been fun to have got involved right from pretty much day one and working with the guys on it. What an opportunity for me. You know, and Paul's been so good. You know, my experience with Paul back to my Regina Pat days, building that crazy score clock and you know, working on our game nights and all the stuff we did. He's been an unbelievable friend to me.
Well, just before we talk about this show, to close the show with you, big hiring, man. I'm excited for it. You know that I was just grinding you off the start. You've joined the WHL champion PA Raiders as their executive director of business operations. What a time to join the PA Raiders. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. And I'm so fortunate to have good people in my life. I've worked with some unbelievable people over the years, and to be reunited with Curtis, and to be, you know, Mike Sissons is just a ball of energy.
Mr. Sizz.
Old Saskatoon Blade guy also, and unbelievable guy. And I was so happy for those guys when they won, you know.
Me
to
too.
See them lift that trophy over their head. There's a lot of friends of mine who've come close, but to see Curtis and Mike get to do that, and Habby, it was pretty special.
It's a special town.
Boy, do they love their hockey team. What an amazing... I've been up there for a couple weeks kind of looking around town and hanging out and doing some stuff in the office and getting settled. But, man, what a difference from one community to the next. You know, the passion, the history, the love they have for that hockey team.
Little Montreal.
I just feel like everybody's just going... They can't wait for the puck to drop. Saskatoon's in town. I think it's August or September 21st and 21st weekend, and it'll be crazy.
They'll be fighting in the parking lot.
Oh my God, it'll be fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm following it very closely, Cliffy.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
I knew it was coming, but I saw it on LinkedIn this morning. Did you just put it on this morning?
You know what? It's one of those things, you know, you can't keep up with everything in your life. And somebody had said that my LinkedIn profile still had the last club I was with on it, and I had to gas that. So, yeah, I did it, like, late last night, early this morning, got it done. But yeah, you know, and this has been outstanding. You saw Jordy was here this morning. You know, I'm off to
from the lunch. Keg. Can we from, say that?
We can say the Keg. We can say Prairie Mobile, Bronco Plumbing,
Capital Auto Mall.
You know, we've got so many good partners that are coming around
to this show. That's Cliff's job, everybody. Everybody
that I've talked to, and especially once the show launched, it you know, before you're talking about, you know, an idea, and having that opportunity to talk to people now and say, here's the actual numbers. Here's what we're doing. And by the way, it looks fantastic. Talk about professional guests, professional set and everything. Darren and Paul and yourself have done a wonderful job.
And Clark.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan.
I can't forget another former WHL guy.
And Jordan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big team here.
The team at IKF has been so good to me. Poor Cassidy. Over the last, I don't know how many years, I put her through so much. And to see you guys pulling this off is real. I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm very fortunate to have been.
Good stuff, Cliffy. Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
And your son's getting married this week.
Cody's getting married to Brittany Anderson out in small town Odessa, Saskatchewan. And Shauna flies in this afternoon, and she'll be a crazy party all weekend, I'm sure of it.
Wow. Glad to have you aboard. Thanks, and thanks to everybody for coming in and spending some time on the sponsor's couch. And Cliffy, you know that we're big Dub fans, big PA fans, my alma mater, too. So they love the show up there, I understand.
We got to have you up there. We got to find a way. Yeah, get you up there. Get Darren, put Darren up there. And maybe Paul will be making an appearance up there in the fall, I hope.
So thank you, Cliffy, for all you do. Thanks, and congrats again. We had a writer. We're Trent from Norway writing in. Trent says Norway lost 3-0 to England last night, Women's World Cup. So thank viewers. Can you sell to Norway? Any companies over there interested?
We could.
They should be. Dallas from Phoenix Group writing in says, congrats, Cliffy. So, everybody's happy for you, my man.
Thanks, buddy.
So we will see you. Actually, I had to get this in. Today's winners of Sask Jazz Fest tickets by sharing the program on their Facebook feed. And we ask you to do that. That's how our show will grow. If you like what we're doing at the Rod Peterson Show, just click share. I don't think it's too much to ask. It's not too hard to do. Justin Duong and Hannah Souster both have won tickets to the Sask Jazz Fest, and that's this weekend, Jan Arden on Sunday night. So thanks for doing that. And our tailgate, 3-5 Regina Rifles, Canadian Armed Forces. The proceeds of the tailgate going to the junior ranks, senior ranks, officers mess. It's all going to the soldiers, officers mess. 3-5, it's at the Armory grass right north, I guess, of Mosaic Stadium. Right across the street, District Brewing Company providing the beer and the beer gardens. We've got face painting, food trucks, family activities, all kinds of things. And the Rod Peterson Show will be there with mugs, stickers. What else do we have? Golf balls, everything else. So things are going great, Cliffy. We're in the business of being in business, and business is good. We'll see you Monday here on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.